I'm battling a bad cold that settled into my chest, and I barely made it through the first service. Actually asked that we play the video for the second service, but there was a technical difficulty, and we can't do that. So you're going to get the second half of what's left of me. And so I am trying to think, Lord, how do I abbreviate this without shortchanging what you want to say? Open your Bibles with me to 1 John. We are in 1 John, and even though it's Mother's Day, we have targeted that this message would be that Mother's Day message. We have dealt with many of the issues that John is encouraging us to deal with. The first was assurance, making sure that you know you're saved without a shadow of a doubt. And once you know that, he's got some encouragements and some directions. He wants us to deal with things that come into our lives. And if he were here today, he'd probably just say, just deal with it. You got to deal with sin. We've got to deal with the devil, the world. Got to deal with the flesh. Got to deal with evil people, which we dealt with last time, which was about hate. And this morning we deal with dealing with one another, which is about love. And then dealing with doubts and dealing with idols. We're going to be looking at this morning dealing with one another. John has a lot to say about one another. He has a lot to say about loving each other. We want to put that in the context and bring some light on this concerning Mother's Day as well. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, reading two passages, chapter 3 verses 10 and 11 and 16, and then chapter 4 verses 7 to 11. 1 John 3 verses 10 and 11. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Pause for a moment. The emphasis is strong. It's repeated over and over throughout this. He's making a comparison of light and darkness. You either are in Christ or you're not in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you better behave like it and you better let Jesus shine through you. Whoever does practice righteousness, whoever does not practice righteousness, that is, people that do evil, are not of God. They're evil. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Then jumping to verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In chapter 4, he picks that up again. Actually, in chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, he does, in each one of those chapters, a review of loving one another. Chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation or the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Pause for a moment. In the Psalms, you'll see a little word, Selah. It means think about that. I think it would be appropriate to have that here. Let me read that again and think about it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And I want to focus on that this morning, this last part, although we refer to each one of these parts of his emphasis on loving one another. If we love one another, God, another translation said, lives in us, and his love is reflected through us. I think it's important to understand. None of us is perfect. We will not perfectly display the love of God as we ought to. We are not God. And so we won't have all of his attributes and the ability to love in that way. But if he lives in us, we reflect his love. There's a reflection that comes from having Jesus as our Savior. God the Father who dwells in us wants to shine through. And that's what He wants us to know. This morning, I want to deal with this in three parts to make it as easy as possible. As I looked at this passage, I said, Lord, give me understanding because I need to know where we're coming from. How do we come to grips with the love of God and that we should have that kind of love for one another? There are three ways. First of all, John introduces this idea of loving one another, referring to the new commandment. He said, as you have heard from the beginning. He's not talking about the beginning of time. He's talking about the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus tells us that we should love one another. And He said, this is a new commandment I'm giving you, that you love one another. And by this will all men know that you're My disciples, if you love one another. So John is picking up on that and saying, it's a new commandment. And in my mind, I thought, what new commandment? I mean, we have the Ten Commandments. So I ran back to the Ten Commandments to try to find out what's in there that talks about loving one another. And I didn't find any one of the Ten Commandments that speaks of loving one another. Of course, in the New Testament, we have the summation of the law, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But that's not in the Ten Commandments. So where does he get this new commandment? And as I looked over the Ten Commandments again, I realized that one of those does refer to loving, and it's called honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Today we're celebrating Mother's Day, and it's a good thing to do, to celebrate Mother's Day and to honor your mother. And it's a good thing to do on Father's Day as well. Hint, hint. Mother's Day gets overemphasized in our society, and that's probably appropriate because we love our mothers so much more than our fathers, right? I almost said I'd hate to be a father. Dads get the short end of the stick, but rightfully so, because I think God has purposed that moms should model some of God's characteristics in which men don't always have those characteristics. There's a new commandment, he says. The old commandment was honor your father and your mother. The new commandment is going beyond father and mother, but love and honor one another. You see, Jesus takes it a step beyond. He says, it's not just about mom and dad. It's about loving with God's love to everybody. As God has loved you, that you would love one another in that same way. That is what He wants us to understand. That's what He wants us to know. You see, this love of God, God's love, is a new kind of love. We see mother's love, we see God's love, we see people kind of caring love, but the love that God wants us to have is a different kind of love than we see on earth. It is a heavenly love, and that is a sacrificial love, a love that is beyond fondness or mutual attraction or just affection. It is a sacrificial love that lays down its life for the one it loves. All other loves are self-centered. All other loves are me-centered. They're self-serving, self-gratifying, convenient loves. And those loves will die when the going gets tough. But the love that God is referring to that we should have for one another is a love that endures through the tough times. God could have said, a new commandment I give you. Be nice to each other. Wouldn't that have been appropriate? No, because the world can be nice to people. Most of us can be civil up to a point. Scripture recognizes that and says, live peaceably with all men as much as lies in you. And mothers know what it is to come to the end of your patience. And sometimes we come to the end of our love. But the commandment isn't to be nice. The commandment is to love. God's kind of self-sacrificing love. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the person, regardless of what they have done. That's important for us to know. So there's a new commandment. I want to look at it in three ways. First of all, let's look at mother's love. That will help us to get a grasp on God's love. Then we look at God's love, and then finally we look at our own love for one another. And I'm going to hurry along because I'm fading quickly. All right, let's look first of all at mother's love. Mother's love is a wonderful thing. Mother's Day is wonderful. I hope all of you bought a flower or did something special for mom or for your wife or for your mother or your sister or whoever you do it for, because it is nice to be nice. John, you've referred to loving one another 23 times in this little book of 1 John. He emphasized it strongly, that it ought to be an attitude that we have. But mother's love stands out as an exception, and I think it's appropriate that we speak on this on Mother's Day. Mothers are meaningful to us, and we ought to tell them that we love them. There are some mothers that are aggravating, however. You've never known any, have you? I appreciated the humorous countdown clock as we came in, giving all those statements that it seems like all of us heard our mothers say. Those little ditties, you know, I can't remember them all, but you know what they are. You've heard them before. Mothers aren't always nice, but we love our mothers despite that fact. We love our mothers even though they yelled at us. We didn't love them at that moment, but we love them through it all. We make our Mother's Day very sentimental, mushy, and even syrupy. It's all kind of gushy loves. And I suppose that's appropriate that we should honor mother in this way. Helen Steiner Rice wrote many poems, and one of those is called A Mother's Love. And I'd like to share that with you because it is a little bit mushy and gushy, and it's appropriate, okay? And let's do it this way. If you're a rhymer, how many of you like to rhyme? You like to do poetry and stuff like that. It's bad, though, when you like it. I like it, too, but if I get into the mood of doing that, the whole sermon's going to end up with a rhyme at the end of every sentence. But here it goes. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion, of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish, enduring come what may. For nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It's patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking. It never fails or falters, even though the heart is... You're good. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns. It glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation. And it still remains a secret, like the mysteries of creation. What did you say, procreation? A many splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. See how nice that is? That's so sweet. And I hope you write a poem to your mom today. And it is sweet to remember mom. But mother's love is not God's love, but it gives us a sense of what God's love is. Let me highlight some demonstration of mother's love. The way that mom expresses her love to us, I think, is helpful. I made a list, and I looked at that list, and I thought, you know, that list will work for each one of our points today. So you're going to see this list come back. We see God in mother. We see God in mother. She feeds us. When you were a little baby, even though you were fat and roly-poly and looked like you needed to go on a diet, she fed you anyway. I mean, there's love. There were no days where she said, you're going on a diet and you're not going to have any food today. She's a mother. A mother feeds her children. That's what she does. And she protects her children. That little roly-poly baby in her arms, don't you dare try to take that baby away. And if you were one of those very loving mothers, you're probably very protective of your child for childhood diseases and all the things. If Pastor Dick comes near with a cold, you say, don't touch my baby. It's a mother's love. And a mother speaks quietly to her baby. Isn't it amazing how all of us speak to babies? We change our voice. We change our language. Ooh, the itty bitty booby wooby baby dooby doo. Why do we do that? Now, if the baby were really intelligent, like I was, I looked back up and I thought, what language is that? And so I tried to imitate it for 2 years and it went, itty bitty booby doo doo. When you're trying to teach your kid to talk, talk to him. Mom talks to her baby, speaks to her baby. She kisses her baby. That is a normal part of loving her baby. She bathes her baby. Even though baby gets dirty, mom bathes that baby 5 times a day if necessary. You do it because you love him or her. It's part of what a mother does. She dresses her baby, even though that baby may mess up those clothes several times a day. Oh, don't you love it when baby does poo? When babies do what babies do, and things come out and they look like, ooh, oh man, I'm rhyming. It's probably the drugs that are in my head from my cold, but mom dressed you. And if you were a boy, she dressed you like a boy, I hope. And if you were a girl, she dressed you like a girl because she loved you. She played with you. She stayed with you. She sings to you. She holds you and she rocks you. All these things are our mother's demonstration of a little bit of God's love, because God does all these things to us too. You know, when we were little, we didn't always do everything well. You were kind of spastic when you were a baby. Remember those first days? Well, you don't remember, but remember your baby's first days when you were trying to teach him to feed himself or herself. And you give him that spoon and that spaghetti, and the baby puts the spoon in his hand and he goes... Actually, we return to that later in life. We go in the same direction. He takes the spoon and he puts it in the spaghetti or whatever it is, and he goes, boom, on his head. And then he goes, boom, in his ear. And then he goes, boom, and he never hits his mouth. You know, it takes him a couple weeks to learn with your guidance and your tender loving care that it goes here, not all over mommy, not all over your body. But what do you do when baby messes up? You love him anyway. And you cherish him. You wash him up and you brag about him, even though he's stupid. You brag about him. It's the way life is. Your kid may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you're teaching him and you love him. And God loves us even though we're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. It doesn't matter. Because he who created us loves us with an everlasting love that's different than mom's love. Mom's love is temporary. It's here on earth. God's love is forever and ever. Let's look at God's love for a moment. We want to define God's love, and it's defined pretty well in scriptures. I want you to turn with me to a couple of scriptures. First, Ephesians chapter 3. And no, we're never done with Ephesians. It will always come back. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is praying for the church, and he prays a powerful prayer that they might know Christ, and particularly that they might know his love. And he says his love surpasses knowledge. He's praying for the impossible. In chapter 3, verses 14 to the end of the chapter are what we're looking at. But let's focus on just a few here. And in the middle of verse 17, he says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God." Wow. He's saying, I'm praying that you could know the impossible to know, the depths and the heights of Christ's love, to put your arms around it and get a grip on this thing and understand it as it really is. None of us understand it fully, but we need to be seeking to know that. I didn't always know the love of Christ. I grew up in a church that taught a conditional love. And though I followed the Lord and was obedient to him, there were many times I felt I failed God and God was mad at me. I saw a marquee for a church. Strange, it was an Assembly of God church, for those of you that happen to be Assembly of God. And on that great banner out in front of the church, it said, "God loves you. Except for Kent, and he's mad at him." I don't know what that was all about, but it's well known that that's been on the marquee. Sometimes I felt that way, that God loves everybody, but he was particularly bad at me. An incident happened in my life that I've shared with you before, that while we were in Brazil as missionaries, our daughter was killed in an accident. She walked in front of a car and was hit by the car and died of massive brain injuries. It was a terrible, terrible ordeal to go through. Horrible. And I'd never, ever wish anyone to go through something like that. We went through it. And it was like going through a meat grinder and being crunched up and spewed out and in the middle of it all saying, "God, where's your love? God, what did I do wrong? Are you hitting me because I missed my devotion one day? Are you mad at me because I maybe lost my temper, or maybe haven't had an evil thought and I'm being punished for that? Where's God's love? And for 2 years, this has rattled around in my head. Where is your love, God? What happened? Did it get cut off? Do you not love me? I always felt like it didn't measure up, and maybe you're just proving it to me now. I came home broken and wounded, and I never wanted to preach again, and I didn't even know if I loved God, and I certainly didn't know if He loved me. And our mission sent me to a counselor that was a godly Christian man, and as we met together, he heard my heart. And in the middle of that, about the second or third week, he said, "Dick, you're a man of God, and you're a man that loves the Scriptures, but you have missed the love of God. You've never seen it. And every time I've referred to the love of God in our counseling, you've said, 'Yeah, but.'" He says, "God's love is everlasting. It's unconditional. It's unilateral. There are no conditions with it." And I challenge you to get into the Word from Genesis to Revelation and discover and read every page and say, "God, show me your love." I thank God for that counselor, because I did it. And I went through the Scriptures, and at every page, God began to open up new pages to me, and I realized, oh my goodness, God loves me with an everlasting love that never changes. I didn't know that. That I couldn't do anything bad enough that God would reject me. And God certainly wasn't punishing me for the death of my daughter. So let me share with you some of those things that I found in just a brief outline. God loves us unilaterally. That means He doesn't love us because there's something good in us. It's His side. He decides to love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Scripture says that He loved us when we were unlovely. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's powerful. Unconditional. There are no conditions. Just come, just as you are. Unrelenting. He never gives up on us. Everlasting. He'll love us till the last day of history, which will never really end. It's never failing. Inseparable, sacrificial, and measureless. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Another powerful passage where God gives us His love. Spelling it out through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. And I want to read just the last concluding portion of that. That he talks about who shall separate us from the love of God. Beginning verse 35 and following. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Shall the death of your daughter, a marriage crisis, a family turmoil? What could separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, he says, all these things are written for your sake. We face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all these things. What things? In all the troubles that we have, God's love has not been taken away. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the things present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? Yeah, I used to sit in church and say, amen, amen, amen. But I tell you, when that flood hit my soul, when I needed so much to know the love of God, and God witnessed to my spirit that I was loved eternally by my Heavenly Father, something broke, a dam broke inside, and the tears welled up, and they flowed out of me. That God loved me so much, and He's never going to stop loving me. God is not my trials. God uses trials. But He doesn't send them usually as punishment. He sends them to make us strong and that we might learn His love more than ever before. God's love is demonstrated as well as defined. Same thing that happened with mother's love. God feeds us. He gives us His Word. He protects us. He speaks to us. He kisses us. He bathes us. He dresses us. He plays with us. He stays with us. He sings to us. He holds us. And He is our rock. All of these things, in every case, God does the same thing that mother does for us, but He does it better and longer and more thorough than anyone could ever possibly do. And Paul cries out and John cries out, oh, that you would know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you could know the depths and the height and the width and the breadth, that the love of Christ would inundate your soul. And once you know the love of Christ and how much He cares for you, then it's with that same love you can love one another. Which brings us to the last point of this message. And that is, our love needs to be defined. He says, our love, if we know Christ as our Savior, if God has come into your life, we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. That means that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ with the same kind of love wherewith we are loved. It's like a mother's love, but it's better. It's God's love. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us, or His love is reflected through us. You see, if you're truly born again, God, through Jesus Christ, lives in you. And that love that He has for you will shine through. Just like a mother's love shines through for the baby that may not be all it should be, spitting up all the time and doo-dooing its diapers and splashing food around the room, and when they turn old enough to talk, their first words are usually no. God says, I loved you when you said no to me. And when you have friends and people in the church that say no to you, I want you to love them anyway. When they step on your toes and when they throw food at you and when they do things against you and it hurts your feelings, I want you to love them anyway. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's look at the demonstration of that love. Same way with mother, same way with God, same way with us. We should love one another by feeding them. We have to share the Word of God with one another, by protecting one another, defending each other before the Lord in prayer, and also protecting from those that would attack from the outside, to speak to one another, to kiss one another. Young people excluded, okay? Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And you can put that into whatever culture you want. Brazilians do it very well. Hamon, you could demonstrate that for people later. But that's a cultural expression, that we should greet one another with a loving good morning and I love you and how are you, and really mean how are you. And then we don't bathe one another, but we bathe each other in the Word. We cover each other by dressing each other in the Word of God and clothing each other. We cover one another's nakedness. When we sin, we don't make a spectacle of it. We don't tell other people about somebody's sin. When we love, we cover sin as love covers a multitude of sins. My friends, never let it be said that you exploit somebody's sin and tell everybody else about it. We play with each other. Here's a good question for you, church. Have you played games or sports with anybody in this church over the past year? Have you had that kind of fellowship where that's what love does? It enjoys being with people. We stay. We have people in our home. We fellowship. We linger together because we love them. We sing to one another. We hold on to one another as we hold on to the rock, Christ Jesus. God says these are things that we ought to be doing with each other. And I want to close the service by giving you a list of things that God says we ought to be doing together because we love one another. And I want us to look at it, because none of us fulfills all these things. We come short, but God's challenge is don't fall short. Do these things and His love will shine through you. We should accept one another, be kind to one another, lay down our lives for one another, put up with one another, honor one another, love one another, serve one another, submit to one another, wash one another's feet, bear one another's burdens. Stop. Look at the list. Circle the ones that you have done this week, this month, this year. And if you find you can't circle any, there's something wrong. The Father's love is not shining through. And He's saying, He's giving us an exhortation, because these are things we can do to demonstrate the love. We should greet one another with the holy kiss. We should admonish one another, confess faults to one another, comfort one another, edify to one another, exhort one another, forgive one another, sing to one another, pray one for another, and spur each other on to love and good works. You see, God has given us these wonderful encouragements and directions how we are to demonstrate love for one another. And yet so often in the church, We fail to treat each other with the respect and honor that we give to our mother. And we fail to treat other brothers and sisters in Christ with the love that Christ had for us. And God says, you're not reflecting my love when you don't do these things. I just take one on the list there, sing to one another. I like to do that. There are many times when I go to hospitals, I stand by people's bedsides and I sing to them. About a week before Ruth Smithley died, my wife and I were called to her bedside. And she was very weak and could hardly speak. And it was effort for her to speak. But Ruth had such a wonderful sense of joy in the Lord. And she had a wonderful sense of humor. I love her sense of humor. I want to sit down with her in heaven in a corner, and we're going to giggle our way through eternity. She's that kind of person, just giggling about everything. And she's joking with us and making these funnies. And Marilyn's being so serious because here's a lady on her deathbed. And she's not getting all the jokes. And Ruth is cutting one after another and laughing. And Marilyn's sitting there, And we have this thing at home where Marilyn doesn't always get the jokes. So my son said, Mom, when we raise our hand like this, that means it was a funny. Just laugh. And we kind of had to do that with Marilyn for Ruth. And I loved it. I mean, here she is, hardly able to speak. And she's giving one laughter thing after another. Before we left her that day, we said, Ruth, we want to sing for you. We don't want to torment you, but we want to sing for you. And we suggested a hymn that we wanted to sing, and she says, no, I don't want that one. And we said, okay, Ruth, what do you want us to sing? And she said, I want you to sing one of those new choruses we do in church. Those old hymns are great, but the choruses we sing are so filled with praise. They're so joyful. Sing me one of those. Which one? She said, sing the one about raising your hands. That's about 90% of them. So we tried. We spent probably 5 minutes. We even called Pastor Dave and Pam. Got both of them on the phone trying to discern which one of the raising your hands and could we sing? I mean, don't have the drums and everything else, but could we sing it? So we finally gave up on that. We did sing her a song. But you know, that's a wonderful way to minister to somebody. And I'm so glad that a week later, Carl Smithley's son, Pete, called me about 8 o'clock in the evening. And he said, Pastor, we just want you to know that Ruth is not doing well. She's not conscious, but we don't expect her to make it through the night. And I had just mowed the lawn and did a long day's work at the house and got dressed and went out and stood with Carl and we talked. And about 5 minutes after I arrived, Ruth breathed her last breath and went home to be with the Lord. And I count it such a blessing to be able to share that with another friend in faith, another person whom we love in Christ, and to know that we have shared that love with them. Even after she passed, we stood around her body and we gave praise to the Lord and read Scripture, and we sang a song of God's love. What have you done this week that shares God's love with somebody else? I hope you have done something for Mother. But God is hoping and God is urging and encouraging you to do something for one another. To love each other as He has loved us. We're going to close with a hymn that's one of my favorites. And my voice is about gone, so I'm not going to read the words as I did in the first service. But I want you to listen carefully to the words as we sing them. The love of God. And how deep and how rich and how far beyond our wildest expectations it is. And revel in the love that He has for you. Would you bow your hearts with me? My voice is just about gone, but I want to pray with you today. If you're here today and somehow the love of God seems distant. And it seems sometimes that God's forgotten all about you. I want you to know that's not true. God said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will help you when nobody else will help you. And His love will never change. I want you to know that. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, today, for those whose hearts are heavy and lonely and hurting and feeling the pain of wondering, where'd you go, Lord? What did I do to get such a mess up? I pray for your comfort for them today. I pray, Lord, that by the Holy Spirit's power and the miracle of your infused light, you would shine into their hearts and show them the love of Christ as they've never known it before. Have mercy on them as you had mercy on me. And Lord, that we would love one another with that kind of love that you have loved us. Bless now as we leave this place. May we love our mothers today, but never forget to love one another. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.